David, and thank all of you for coming tonight. It is a warm afternoon, and we're certainly glad that all of you have chosen to be here. I can tell you it's a whole lot better than being out in your yard this afternoon. And we were having a little bit difficulty a moment ago getting the projector to work here, but the devil was trying to keep us from doing that. But we're going to talk about Satan tonight anyway. The devil, all you really wanted to know about Satan, but you may have been afraid to ask. Do you really believe in Satan, and who is he? You know, Satan is called a number of things in the Bible. I want to talk about him being our adversary in just a moment, but I want to tell you, first of all, that the first use of the name Satan in the Bible is found in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, and verse 1. Now, we know that the serpent beguiled Eve in the book of Genesis, and we're well acquainted with that. There are a lot of questions surrounding that serpent. Who was the serpent? There are several things that we know about the serpent, but some things we don't know. We do know that the serpent had the ability to speak. There's a lot of speculation about whether or not this really was the devil himself or whether he was an instrument of Satan, because it really doesn't call him Satan. He is just simply called the old serpent. He is the one who beguiled Eve, and she did eat of that forbidden fruit. And, of course, in her eating of the forbidden fruit, she gave unto her husband, and he did eat. And they were promised that their eyes would be open, and they would be as wise as God. But there is no evidence at all that what the devil told them actually became reality or became true. Now, many of us are aware of the fact that the book of Job is actually believed to be the oldest penned book of the Bible. Satan is found throughout Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, and it literally means the one who is our adversary. And when we think about an adversary, he is defined, as I've mentioned here, as an opponent or an enemy. All of us maybe in our lifetime have had adversarial conflicts with different individuals. It could have been a friend, maybe a family member, whatever. But when Peter chose to describe to the early church Satan himself, he referred to him in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8 in this way. He says, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, that is your enemy, walks about like a roaring lion, and he is seeking whom he may devour. I can tell you that Satan is up to no good, and I can tell you that he is still alive and well in our world. He is reaching out for the hearts of men, just as God is reaching out for the hearts of men. And God gives us the opportunity to make a choice in our life concerning the one that we will serve. You know, when people talk about the devil, there are a number of things that come to mind. Why did God create a devil? Well, I'll tell you first and foremost here that God didn't create a devil no more than Judas Iscariot was chosen by Jesus to be a devil. But the Bible tells us that Judas Iscariot allowed Satan to fill his heart, and he became the instrumentality of all that is evil and all that is corrupt. And we know that Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and which ultimately led to his death. But the guilt of all of it weighed heavy upon his heart, and he took the money back and threw it on the steps of the temple and made the statement that I have betrayed innocent blood. Well, where did the devil actually come from? You know, as I said, he is called by a number of names in the Bible, and we're going to look at some of those. But I want to focus tonight on the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, verse 12 through 14. You remember it was Jesus who said in the New Testament, he said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Now, if you were to go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 14, you would find, I think, where Isaiah actually refers to him as Lucifer. It is the only time that the demonic spirits in the Bible are referred to by name as such. Now, they have names that give meaning to their operation and what they are endeavoring to do in life. But in actuality, he is called Lucifer here. Now, many of the scholars actually believe that Satan actually is Lucifer, and there are some who say, well, this particular passage has a double meaning because he is referring to the king of Tyre and to the king of Babylon. But I want you to notice what it says, and if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me in Isaiah, the 14th chapter. The prophet said, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart." Now get this picture. This is what he says. "I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of an almighty God. And I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation on the furthest side of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God." Well, we know that didn't happen with Satan. We know that it didn't occur. No more than the eyes of Adam and Eve were open when they took of that forbidden fruit. We know that God said in the garden they could eat of any fruit, but there's one thing that you have to abstain from. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I want you to look at this again just a minute, and Satan being our adversary. "How are you fallen from heaven, O shining star, O son of the morning?" You and I are led to believe that Satan was not created as a demonic spirit, but because there was a war, a revolt against God himself, God cast him down. Now, you will remember also in reading the Bible historically that hell is a place that is reserved for the devils and the devil and his angels. You know, we don't really think about the devil actually having angels in the world, but he does. We talk about the angels of God. And the word angel from the Greek word means messenger. Well, we know that the demonic spirits of this world are messengers of Satan. And so many people believe that that serpent that actually tempted Adam and Eve was just the instrumentality of the real devil, and he was being used. And as I said, we know that that tempter, we always picture him maybe as a snake. The Bible doesn't really depict him in that way. A serpent could be maybe any number of things. And the Bible really doesn't call him likened unto the beast of the field, but he is a serpent. And so with that in mind, he is our adversary. He is working against you, not for you. And when you read the Word of God, you become acutely aware of the fact that the devil has been working for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, all historically of the 6,000 years of recorded history. And he has been luring men through his angels to do that which is evil. Well, I can't get it to work, so I'm going to go on tonight. Marty? We know that the devil is described as a roaring lion, and he is seeking whom he may devour. He is called the great deceiver also. It is defined as to cause to go astray or to lead away from the right way. And isn't that what he did through that serpent in the Garden of Eden? God had everything right. God had created everything. And the Bible says that when God saw it, he said, "All is good." Everything that God had fashioned was good. But the devil came along and tried to make it appear that the great God of heaven didn't have it all together. And factually speaking, he is saying, "Hey, you know, I have it all together. God just simply knows that you will be as wise as he. But Satan is the great deceiver. He says they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I want you to think about that a minute. They come, Satan's messengers and his angels come to us in good form. They appear to be very righteous and very holy and very good, but down deep within their heart and down deep within their spirit, they are evil and they are corrupt. When Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he talked about the fact that because people didn't have a love for the truth, that God would send them a strong delusion, that they might believe a lie from this one who transforms himself into an angel of light. How many of you have ever seen the chameleon lizard? You ever seen one of those? How they just change colors? Well, that's kind of the best picture I can think of when I think about how Satan does this. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He appears to be holy, but in reality is anything but holy. The devil hates you. Now, whether you believe that or not, it is true. The devil hates you. He wants you to get angry. He wants you to hold grudges. He wants you to be hostile toward other people that are around you. He wants to tempt you. He wants to lead you astray. He wants you to be frustrated in your life. And he wants you to be filled with hate. Have you ever thought about that? When you look at the world today and you see all the hate, you see all the unrest, you see all the hostility that's going on in our world and people succumbing to temptation, that is the work of demonic spirits. Sometimes we think of that just being the devil himself, but I think of it being the instrumentality of the devil. The devil does have angels that are in this world. He does. I'm convinced of that. And he is working all over this world like God has angels. The Bible says that we, even little children, have guardian angels who guard over them. Now, he is not only called the adversary or the tempter, but he is called the father of lies. Have you ever considered how many lies may be told in a day's time? People tell lies all the time. They feel no repercussions from it. Doesn't bother them to tell a lie. But in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, the Bible says, listen to this. It says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Jesus said in the book of John, the 8th chapter and verse 24, that there is no truth in him because the devil just does not tell the truth. He is a liar. Listen to this. And you are of your father, he said to some, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, listen to this, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and he is the father of it. Do you know the first sin that we have recorded actually in the Bible is the lie that was told by Satan? It wasn't mankind succumbing to the temptation of the devil, but the first lie was the lie that Satan told. Now, we generally say, the first sin that was ever committed is when Eve gave in to Satan and she ate of the forbidden fruit. That was a sin, all right, but it wasn't the first one. For the first sin that we have that is recorded in the Bible is the sin of Satan telling a lie. And you know, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, the reason Jesus went to the cross by and large was because of the lies that were perpetrated by this demonic spirit called Beelzebub, called the adversary, called the tempter, called the father of lies. For he tried to scheme and make the world believe that Jesus was a blasphemer because he claimed to be the Son of God. But Jesus says, you know what? To many, they are the children of their father, who is a liar. Well, there's another description of Satan in the Bible, and he is called the prince of this world. Now, think with me on this one also. He is the spiritual ruler of evil spirits and demons. You know, I think people understand that demonic spirits are really working in our world. How many times you ever hear people say, well, we all have our little demons? You know why people say that? They say that to justify what they have done. They do the same thing that he did. They blame it. They blame their activity and their actions upon little demons. And that kind of soothes the conscience of many people. They say, well, you know, we all have our demons. And if we can justify it in that way, it makes us feel a lot better, doesn't it? Well, you know what? God doesn't want us to have our demons. I'm going to tell you why. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You can't allow that demon to live in you and let God live in you at the same time. He is not going to live in your heart. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says of some people whose minds the god of this age, that is the prince of the world, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine upon them. Satan blinds us. He does. Have you ever heard people articulate words like this? Well, I just don't see it. You know, they can read the same word of God that we read, and people look at it and they say, well, I just don't see it. You know why you don't see it? It's like I've discussed baptism with a lot of folks in my lifetime and why that is such a pivotal thing, why it's so important for people to be baptized into Christ. And you know what the devil does? According to what Jesus said in Matthew 13, Luke chapter 8, the devil comes along and he snatches that word that has been taught. Jesus describes the word as seed that is planted in the ground. And what happens is that the devil comes along and he snatches that seed away lest it could take root and flourish and grow. So every time, let me tell you something. Now, whether you believe this or not is true. Every time I stand up here and preach the gospel, the words I'm preaching right now, if you don't accept it and put it in your heart, the devil will come quickly and snatch it away. And it will be very easy for you to walk out of this building tonight and say, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Well, you know what? It's like the Bible says that the god of this age has blinded those who do not believe. And he blinds us every day. It's like people say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it, when they know it's wrong. They justify it in their mind by saying, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. If God condemns it, folks, it's still wrong. And it will always be wrong. It does happen. And it's important that we understand that. The prince of this world. Marty, we're going to have to go to the next one if you can. A lot of people want to shake hands with the devil and yet hold on to God over here at the same time. Can't do it. Can't do it. The Bible says, what fellowship hath darkness with light? Now, that's a rhetorical question, isn't it? There's no way the world of darkness can have fellowship with those that are in the light. Can't have fellowship. Matter of fact, the Bible even admonishes us not to even have a part in it. For the Word of God says that, the God of the world, again, wants us to come into His fellowship and at the same time try to play the part of the Christian. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with a non-believer. That brings me to one more point here. The devil is referred to as the wicked one. Well, that's almost an understatement, isn't it? It is. His intentions are wicked. His intentions are destruction. And in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is he who received the seed by the wayside. People hear it all the time. But it's not enough to hear it. As I said this morning, you have to act on the word. Jesus says, don't be hearers only, but be doers of the word. For this man shall be blessed in his deed. Listen to Christ in the book of Luke 6 and 46. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you're unwilling to do the things that I say? For he also echoed these thoughts in the book of Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. You keep resisting the word. Let me tell you something. This is a dangerous thing, and what we're talking about tonight is a serious issue. You keep fighting against God when he tells you to leave Satan alone. Many people like to play with sin. Someone said one time that a lot of folks like to sow their wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of people like that in the world, but it doesn't happen that way. In the book of Ephesians 2 and verse 2, the scripture says, in which once walked, following, he's talking about those, listen to it, they walked at one time in the course of this world, following the prince of the power of air, the spirit that is now, listen, at work in the sons of disobedience. There are some people who change their lives. There are some people who make that conquest over Satan and can resist the devil. But when Paul wrote to Timothy concerning the end time, and that's what we're living in right now, folks. In the book of 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, Paul says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and listen to this, and doctrines of devils, plural. He didn't say one. And doctrines, one translation says, and doctrines of demons, plural. That tells me there are more folks out there trying to lead you astray. And every time you're trying to do what is right, the devil is trying to snatch away the word of God. If you don't think it's true, listen to this. David said, your word have I hidden within my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen to that. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You get the word out of your heart, you'll sin. You'll sin freely. You will. Some depart from the faith, as I've depicted here. And, they fall prey to the evil one. If you don't have time to pray and read the Holy Scriptures and feed upon the Word of God, you are busier than God ever intended for you to be. And I'm going to tell you something. We all get busy in life, every one of us. But when we feel that we are too busy to feed spiritually on God's word, then we're too busy. The devil has a scheme, all right. Let me tell you just a little bit in closing tonight about the scheme of the devil. The devil is working to discourage you. If the devil can discourage you, then he has helped accomplish his own will, not the will of God. He is desirous of distracting you and getting, pulling away your attention from things that are good and holy. If he can distract you, it's kind of like when you want to go to worship and then you get a phone call and you get hung up on the phone call and say, well, it's too late to go to church now. He distracts you. He discourages you. And he deceives you. He is, as I've already said, the great deceiver. And not only is he satisfied with discouraging you, distracting you, and deceiving you, but he wants to conquer you that he might destroy you. Anybody that is for God, Satan is trying to get out of the way. Think about this one. That's why Satan and his activity resulted in the death of the prophets in the Old Testament. And it resulted in the death of the apostles, every one of them. Every one of them. As martyrs. Martyrs for the cause of Jesus. They didn't die a natural death. Some were beheaded. Some historical accounts tell us that Peter was crucified upside down, that Matthew was drugged through the streets of Jerusalem, that James was beheaded, that Paul was beheaded under the emperorship of Nero. We can defeat Satan's schemes through the armor of God. And that's why Paul made this statement in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And by the way, these words right here came from God. They didn't come from anyone else. Paul didn't sit around sipping on a Slurpee one day and thinking, well, I'll write this to the church over at Ephesians or Ephesus, and I'll tell them a little bit about what they can do to make life better for them. He didn't do that. God revealed it to him, and he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now listen to this, that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's the way you do it. You make sure that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You put on the helmet of salvation. You girt your loins about with truth. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. And you take the shield of faith, which is the word of God, that you may quench all of the fiery darts of the evil one. And Paul would later write to that Roman church that was going through tremendous struggle. In Romans 8 and verse 37, that in all of these things we are, listen to this, right now, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us and gave himself for us. Here's the game plan for us. Fight temptation. Don't give in to it, but you fight it. For James 1 and verse 4 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and lust, and he is enticed. Game plan number 2 is don't take the bait. That's what Eve did, didn't she? She took the bait. You know, sometimes fish are smarter than human beings. Have you ever noticed that? You can be out on a lake and you can be fishing all day. You know the fish are down there. I mean, you think you got the right bait. Or that you're using the right lure, and you throw out there and you sit there, and the fish don't take it. You know what? When Satan uses his bait, and I'm going to tell you something, Satan has a little bit more insight as to what bait works on human beings than we as human beings know what might work on fish. We have to take the bait. Don't take the bait. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, when the woman saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it and ate and also gave to her husband. And he ate. Misery loves company, doesn't it? Don't make the wrong choice. For Paul writes in Romans 6 and 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness, and the result is sin. Then when that desire has conceived, it brings birth to sin, and when it is full grown, it will bring death. And he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. James chapter 1. Our defense is this. We must defend ourselves from the attack. Satan's going to be attacking you. He will. Once you leave this building, I'm going to tell you something. Now, we're among Christians here, but he's sitting here waiting. He can attack you right here. But wait till you leave this building, where you're not in the company of believers. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on that whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says we wrestle against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so therefore, he says, you take up that armor of God that you might be able to stand. You and I tonight are in the valley of the tempter. And I guess my question is, are you fighting? Or are you prepared to fight? Who has the real advantage over you tonight? Last of all, the Bible in the book of James 4 and verse 7 says that we are to surrender unto God and to resist the devil, and he will run from you. That's a modern day vernacular. If you're reading the King James, it says that he will flee from you, but he will. You and I tonight must work at trying to put the devil on the run. Make sure he doesn't bother us. And when we resist him, he leaves us. Same thing happened to Jesus, didn't it? When he was tempted, the Bible says that when he resisted all of those temptations that were brought on by the devil or Satan, that the devil left him for a while. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, the devil is working hard to keep you from becoming one. And if you are a Christian, he is working hard to get you back into the world and get you focused on things that are less than spiritual. I hope tonight that as you analyze what we have shared with you, that you'll think very soberly about it. It's important that we be right with God and that we understand the forces of evil that are working against us. And if you're here tonight and you're subject to the call of Jesus Christ, I hope that you'll make that decision as we sing this grand song of invitation. Let us stand and let us sing.